Welcome. This is the Lady Leadership Podcast. Sam's goal is clear, helping as many women as she can meet their full potential in business and in life. Hi, this is Sam McIntyre, and in this season of the Lady Leadership Podcast, I'm going to be talking to you about how to get the most out of your career, whether you have your own business, whether you work in corporate, or whether you're just starting out, maybe you're finishing uni. So, joining me, and I look forward to sharing all my tips and hints on how to fast track your career. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Lady Leadership. I'm super excited today to be interviewing Olivia Chalet. Now, Olivia has a really interesting business, which is good news because this is a podcast about that sort of stuff. And her business is helping women gain their confidence in business. So thanks for joining me, Olivia.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm really looking forward to this.
Now, what I loved is that we actually connected on like-minded bitches drinking wine.
Yeah, we did.
So, yeah, which is, I remember having looked at that group a while ago, and or when I first joined, which is a couple of years ago, I had about 10,000 people on that site at that point, and I was pretty impressed there. Now it's up to like 145,000.
So. I know. I was literally just seeing that this morning, and I was just thinking, wow, they've done such a phenomenal job. But I also think it's because of like the brand. I've actually been to one of their in-person events, and they're very, it's just very laid back and fun. And I think sometimes a lot of the business stuff can be a bit too professional or a bit too serious. So yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I've forgotten her name. So Jen.
Yes.
And, what's the girl who owns
I know exactly who you're referring to, but I can't remember her name. She's such a sweetheart as well, and I've actually heard her speak. It'll come back.
Yeah. So I know her handle, like the Lazy CEO, and I've completely forgotten the name of her business, and I've completely forgotten her name. I've gone blank. Really should look that up before we start these things. And comment on them. So, all right. Now, so you specialize in helping women gain confidence in business. So tell me then, Olivia, just tell me what that means.
So, you know, what does that mean? I guess what it means is that from what I've been working in this for 6 years, and what I discovered when I first started working with female business owners, and originally I had done a coaching qualification and a psychology master's, and I was just really keen to help women grow their businesses. And originally I kind of thought, okay, it's probably going to be more around sales and marketing, and really looking at kind of more like the tangible side of things.
Yeah.
But the more I started working with women, even women who were, you know, really killing it already, like had a certain amount of money coming in and clients, it really kept showing up that there was a real struggle around confidence and just not feeling quite good enough. And I know that that's something that I think every single human experiences, and it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what area you work in. But what I found was that was really often the biggest obstacle in terms of people really jumping up to the next level. Because often what would stop them is, you know, instead of executing daily on their businesses, they would put things off, they would procrastinate, they would avoid, they would do lots of other things around the house, for example, rather than actually, you know, taking very key, bold actions in their business that would like move the needle forward and help them grow their profits. So I just got more and more into helping them around confidence, because that's kind of the problem that kept showing up. And it's interesting because I think a lot of times people think, they look at a business owner, they look at a woman and they think, oh, like she's really confident. But then what's interesting is when you do start coaching them, and in the beginning of my business, all I was doing was a lot of just one-on-one coaching. You actually find that behind the scenes, so many people are struggling with just like the natural insecurities of like, am I good enough? Is this something I can really do? Do I have what it takes? Do I really have substance behind, you know, my success? And we start comparing ourselves as well to other, you know, other businesses in that industry. So that's how I kind of, I moved more like deeper and deeper into the confidence side of thing. And I just find it fascinating, and it's really, I can't help myself. I feel like I could just sort of naturally have a tendency to move towards that topic. So, that's kind of how I got into it and what kind of made me niche, like, I guess, into that area.
Yeah. And look, I think through my work and through my career, I've also seen that, and also, experienced it myself, sort of that imposter syndrome that, oh, I'm going to be found out, that, oh, I don't, they're going to find out how the hell did I get this job, or, I'm not experienced enough. And I mean, what, with the work that you've done, what do you think, why do you think that is? Why do you think women kind of suffer in that, space?
Well, from the coaching that I've done, and working with women one-on-one and then later on in groups, it was often just childhood things, which I'm sure most people listening to this will probably not be that surprised, but it's that thing of, like, that your dad made you feel like you weren't quite smart enough, or your mom said something when you were 6 years old and you've never forgotten it. And from like that point onwards, you just feel like, you're not likable, or you're not lovable, or you're not interesting enough. And then I've also had, like, women who, again, it's definitely childhood things that have happened, like something that happened when they were like 4 or 6 or 7 years old. But then as a result of that, they've kind of made up a story or a belief in their heads. Like, I'm not popular enough. I had a client who ran a PR business, and she had this underlying belief or story that she was just not popular enough. And you would think, well, who cares? Like, what does that have to do with business? Yeah. But unfortunately, especially these days, when a lot of times you do have to put your business out there, you have to, whether it's through, marketing on social media platforms, or whether it's networking or collaboration, there is a certain level of exposure and visibility. And if you have an underlying belief or story that says, I'm not popular and people just don't like me, it makes it very difficult to continue to grow your business. And even with her clients, she had this underlying feeling like, maybe they don't like me, and maybe I'm just not popular enough. And so very often it comes back, like, really down to something that happened when you were a child. And then unfortunately you build the belief when you're a child because you don't know any better. So you just start believing that you're not smart enough, or you're not popular enough, or whatever it might be. And then, and unfortunately, due to confirmation bias, you find evidence, proof, events, stories, data around you that proves and reinforces that underlying limiting belief. And so, unfortunately, it just kind of, it's really bad, because it's a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, because it just adds and adds. It kind of like snowballs over the years. And so when you're 20 or 30 or 40 or however old you are, it's, suddenly you have this very strong core belief that, you don't have what it takes, or you're not enough, or whatever it might be. So it's about really unraveling that and changing the story, changing the belief systems, and shifting gears. But that can take a little bit of awareness. And often we don't even realize we're doing it. We don't even realize how much we're holding back, or sabotaging, or finding ways to procrastinate. We think, oh, no, I'm not doing that. And then when you start coaching someone, you realize, no, you absolutely are doing that. So it stems from childhood mostly. That's like what I've seen every single time.
Yeah. And I would agree with that. And I think, often it's kind of that patriarchal side of society that we've been, raised in, that, the role of women, the role of men. And there's a lady named Ellie Watson who has a business around girls in tech and code like a girl. And, she's got some research that she's done where, parents think that boys are smarter than girls, basically. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then, so I could just kind of, in my household, I remember my brother really kind of being encouraged to, do this, do that. He was in the advanced learning for math or whatever, I remember.
Right.
And whereas I remember being labeled as a struggler.
Oh my God.
Which was pretty much far from the truth. But and I think it is very much that story that you tell yourself and those underlying beliefs, and it's sort of breaking that down, isn't it, really? And do you think also it is, so I've seen some research recently where we stop ourselves doing something for kind of fear of failure. So say we don't take that next step, or because we think we're not going to be successful, so we don't kind of push forward. Does that all tie into it as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Like fear, it's a really interesting one as well, because when you when you coach someone and you look at, okay, well, you know, what would be the worst case scenario? Let's say you do, for example, put your new product up on Etsy and no, let's say nobody buys it, or even worse, people, you know, say awful things about your product and say it's horrendous or whatever it might be. Like, even if that were the case, worst case scenario, if that were to happen, what would happen to you? And often my clients will say something like, well, actually, like, the truth is, like, if that did happen, it wouldn't be the end of the world. And I'd be able to get up and, like, kind of brush myself off. But I think it's exactly what you said. It's more this sort of conceptual, abstract feeling of, like, what if I fail, or what if this doesn't work out? And I guess that's the power of, you know, whether it's coaching or journaling or doing some sort of deep self work, where you can really look into, like, well, let's actually look at this fear and unravel it and see, like, well, what if that were to happen, and you, for example, your business bombed and you brought your profit dropped and so on, like, would you be able to move forward, and what would you do in that situation? And often I think we underestimate that we have the capacity and the ability to get back up, especially business owners, you know, especially female business owners tend to be the kinds of people who are very gritty, very tenacious. And so I think what's interesting, what you said, is like, it's exactly that. It's a fear of failure. It's just like an imaginary thing in your head. And it's just an underlying, just emotional state of, like, I'm not going to do it because what if I fail, as opposed to actually looking tangibly at, like, what would happen? Like, let's actually look at the realistic situation. Okay, if this were to happen, what would I do? Mm. And then when you realize that, you're like, oh, well, I would get out, you know, I'd get over myself and I'd be absolutely fine. But I think it's what you said. It's like, we kind of stick in our heads and we overthink and we worry, and then we get very emotional. Like, you know, we feel a lot of emotions about it, and then we don't move forward. And it's really sad, because if we actually dug in a little bit and looked at it in a more practical sense, we'd realize, okay, well, if that were to happen, it'd be actually okay. I would do A, B, and C. So let me actually take this action.
So your strategies then are looking at, okay, some sort of, you know, deep self-work in terms mm-hmm. of what's holding yourself back, having a look at, like, what is actually the worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. And then I suppose as well, just making some plans. And
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I really like to do is use some acceptance commitment training, which is something that I actually learned originally from my husband, who's a clinical psychologist, because acceptance commitment therapy comes from more of, like, these sort of psychology background. Mm-hmm. But it's really where you become more and more mindful of the thoughts and feelings that are going through your body throughout the day in your business. And you can use little tools and techniques, you know, everything from just, you know, focusing again on your breath, or just use, for example, meditating on a daily basis, even if it's like 3 or 4 minutes, so that you start being able to catch your thoughts or catch your feelings when they show up originally, rather than having them take over your mind and take over your body. And basically, before you know it, you're ruminating, you're spiraling, and you kind of haven't done anything all day. Really, what I like to teach is around the idea of, like, let's catch that early on. Let's get more and more aware of our thinking habits and of our feelings. And then when they show up, notice them inside the body. You know, like, that's the funny thing, is, like, we get so fused with our thoughts and feelings that we think that they're us. But actually, the more you practice different mindfulness tools and techniques, you actually realize, oh, it's actually something separate to me. And I can notice these feelings, or I can notice the thought bubbling up, but I can choose to set it aside, and I can choose a new thought, and I can choose a new action based on a more value-based way of living. So there's so many little practices and tools and techniques that you can, like, for example, you can label a story. If there's always the same story that shows up in your mind, something like, I'm just not smart enough to figure this out. And it's just like a recurring story that shows up every week for your business. Every week, you're just worried about just not being clever enough to, like, let's say, scale your business or do email automation, or, you know, hire some new employees and manage them, whatever it might be. Then what you can start doing is you can come up with a name or a title of that story. So you can say, oh, there's the I'm not smart enough story. And you're basically creating distance between you and that story just by labeling it and actually acknowledging it being there, saying, like, oh, there it is again, the I'm not smart enough story. And it sounds a little silly, but what's powerful about doing this, and I've done this so many times for myself, but also with my clients, is that it really gives you enough space between you and your thoughts or your stories so that you can notice it and still choose an action that is value-based, that's basically going to allow you to grow your business or make more sales or take the specific steps that you need to take to move the needle forward. So there's lots of little like tools and techniques like that can really help you to just sort of stay focused and actually do the things that you really deep down want to do rather than letting your self-doubt basically take over.
Oh, look, I mean, I totally agree with that wholeheartedly. And I was doing lots of head nodding as you were talking. And look, I had the experience this morning where my Melbourne lockdown today, we've got our children at home and I've got a 10 and a 13-year-old, and they decided to, one of them was making breakfast and the other one was putting toast on, but asked the other one to watch the toast. The other one didn't watch the toast. They got in an argument, the toast burnt, the smoke detectors going off. You can imagine the scenario. And then so that kind of all happened. And then I decided to got them sorted out, got them to, you know, have breakfast, decided to take the dog for a quick walk. The dog is a puppy, you know, he's distracted by everything. So then I'm kind of, you know, thinking bad thoughts about the dog as well, thinking, gosh, I want to go for a decent walk. And I've got this, you know, I'm basically wrestling a 40-kilo puppy. Anyway, and I absolutely caught all of this. And then, oh, you know, this is a woman's podcast. So, you know, I've got my period today.
Yeah.
And I was just like, do you know what? I'm kind of on the verge of angry because I've got my period, because I'm fighting, because the dog. And I was like, I can choose how I want to go into the day.
Exactly.
I don't want to choose to go into the day angry. So I'm going to kind of let that go today.
But you know, Samantha, you say that, like, it's funny because it's surprisingly challenging to do that. Like, especially if you're not practiced at it, what you just suggested, even me just hearing that, I can only imagine, you know, especially with the lockdown here in Melbourne that we're experiencing for just 5 days, but you know, you've got your two kids. I'm actually currently pregnant, so I don't have the joys yet of kids, but I soon will. But I can just imagine, like, you know, again, like that's really a choice, like what they call a choice point. In that moment, you get to choose. You can move towards how you want to be living your life, or you can move away from it, right? And throughout the day, like practically every few minutes, we have choice points. Like, am I going to take the dog for a walk, or am I just going to sit on the couch and just, you know, not do anything or feel lazy, you know?
But I also know that the dog needs to be trained as well. So, you know, part of that walk was train the dog, and congratulations on the baby as well.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, look, you know, so I'm also mindful of, well, if I don't then train the dog's never going to be trained, and we're never going to be at a point where he's going to be fun to kind of, like, I mean, you can take him on walks or take him to the dog park and let him off, but you know, walking properly on a lead beside you. But yeah, like you said, it's a choice. And there's also someone I follow who talks about kind of, you know, negative thoughts, and this is along those lines as well. And you know, he was like, oh, you know, he was doing some work with someone, and they said, you know, put some pebbles in your pocket, and you know, change it from the left pocket to the right pocket every time you have a negative thought. And he was like, I don't have negative thoughts. And he's like, I had 23 negative thoughts before I had my cup of coffee in the morning. And you know, he was like, just kind of so surprised. And there's someone else that I've interviewed on this podcast, and she kind of calls it like the itty bitty shitty committee, you know, the kind of the voices in your head that turn up. Yeah, with that, you know, story of you can't, you won't, or there's going to be a, you know, a disaster or whatever. And it's kind of like saying, no, itty bitty, you need to kind of go away. So I absolutely know where you're coming from. And I think, you know, when you are running your own business and you are, you know, creating new things, you know, it's difficult to always be kind of bright and shiny and positive and, you know, thinking everything's rainbows and unicorns and all the rest of it. There are tough times, and it's, you know, it is kind of working your way through that, isn't it? And then having that, you know, people around you to support you through that.
Yeah, I'm nodding as you say that, because I couldn't agree more. You know, I've been in business for over 6 years now, and it's been absolutely like ebbs and flows. And I think it, you know, even when the things are, for example, like it, let's say you run an ad, like a Google ad or a Facebook ad, which a lot of businesses will do. And then let's say you don't get the results you wanted, and yet you've invested a lot of money. And in that moment, again, that's a choice point, right? Like, what do you choose to focus on? Like, you know, no, it's definitely not rainbows in that moment, especially if you spend a lot of money. And let's say right now, like, that's, you know, you really needed that to convert into, let's say, leads and sales. But even if it's not rainbows, there's still certain questions you can ask yourself. And that's something that, you know, we look into a lot. And Tony Robbins, I remember, brought that up like way back when I first started following him, this idea around like, what kinds of questions are you asking yourself? So in that moment, let's say this ad's gone poorly, are you asking yourself like, what did I learn? What can I use from this? What is great about this challenge? And even though those questions can be infuriating when you're first using them, the interesting thing is the more you practice and the more you use those types of questions on a weekly basis in your business, the more ingrained and automated they become. And actually, you start really thinking from that perspective of like, because as you know, and as everyone who's listening who runs a business knows, like, there's just every week there's going to be something that, like, you know, oh, this little niggle, this little thing, oh, this client or this team member or this marketing thing didn't work or whatever it might be. So I guess it's just, there's so many opportunities to feel frustrated or to feel not good enough or to feel like, you know, it's not working or whatever, or it's slower than you'd like it to be or whatever it might be. And I think, I guess it's like, what kind of philosophy how do you want to live your life? Mm. And I guess for me, it's like, I wanted to live my life whereby I'm just really focused on, like, I don't know, just gratitude, I guess. And just really being, I want to feel at peace. I don't need to feel like on a high of like all the time, but I do want to feel at peace. And I think it would be very easy to continually focus on what's wrong. I think Tony Robbins says what's wrong is always available and what's right is always available. And you get to choose what to focus on. And I'm a big fan of that because it's like, that's true. There's always both sides. You can always choose to look at it one side or the other, and that's up to you.
And I've seen those posts recently where it's like, you know, being really fit is hard and being really unfit is hard.
Yes.
You know, choose your hard type of thing.
I love that. I've seen that too. It's fantastic because it's so true, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a different perspective on it. I mean, do you think, and this is, you know, this is a bit woo-woo, right? But do you think, you know, the universe leads you into the right path and where you are supposed to be then?
I'm nodding to that because I'm smiling as well. Look, you know what's funny about this, the whole spirituality thing and the woo-woo thing is I've kind of, and maybe others can relate to this, but I've kind of like dove in and out over the years. It's really interesting for me because I really love the practical stuff and I really love like the hands-on. I get really geeky and nerdy and like I read a gazillion mindset books and business books. And so for me, it's funny because I'm so in love with that side that sometimes I kind of move towards that a lot. And then I'm like less on that other sort of side and then vice versa. But I guess I kind of feel like life, like, I guess my underlying belief and maybe whether this is woo or not is like life is freaking amazing. Like we really do have I just think it's pretty crazy amazing. And yes, things do get stressful. I think mostly just because of our own minds, not even because of reality, but because of our own minds and our own stories. But that being said, I just feel like there's just so much good in the world that you can find. And I think it's just, it would be a real shame to miss out on that, if you know what I mean? Like, that's sort of like my take on it. Yeah.
And I think, you know, if you do like manifest stuff and if you do, you know, think this is what I'd like to be doing, then you put pieces of, you know, stepping stones in front of you, you're kind of going to end up there, aren't you?
I really wholeheartedly believe what you just said. I think if you're committed, like if you're like, this is happening, I say it with my clients, like if you're committed to crossing the finish line, like regardless of how long it takes, because I think a lot of people, and I've been that person myself, so I really understand if that's, you know, if somebody's there listening to that right now, but like, you know, that feeling of like, oh, but it's been, you know, it's been X number of years or it's been X number of months and I already expected to be there. And I think for me, it's like, well, no, if you're committed to crossing the finish line, then you will cross the finish line, but it might take you double the amount of time that you expected, which yes, is frustrating maybe, as, or it's not frustrating. It just is what it is. And you're just going through a lot of growth and you're becoming the kind of person who would receive that kind of thing. And you're becoming the kind of person you need to become to actually be at that level, you know? And sometimes I don't think we're ready. I think that's genuinely what it is as well.
Yeah. And then you cross that finish line and you realize that's not the finish line.
I know. Yeah. That's something I've been doing as well. I remember, it's a pretty cool thing though. When you cross that, you know, I don't know, I think every business owner has like a goal and, you know, then you set another goal and then you set another goal. And I know when I first crossed like the big goal, for me, it was like six figures and it was way back when, you know, I think it was like a year. Like I think the first year was incredibly hard for me. And then the second year I hit six figures and it was, I just remember for me, it really did feel like a really big deal because it was like, it wasn't so much about the goal or the money or the income, or it had nothing to do with that, but it was more about the fact like, oh my God, like you can literally create something that you had in your mind, like something that you desired and wanted. And that to me was life altering because I don't think I'd ever really experienced that to that extent prior. And I think other people are probably thinking, yeah, like when that happens, it just feels like, oh my gosh, like, and that means you can do it again. It means you can like try new things. And it also means that none of your excuses are valid because like you said, if you just decide and then you just keep going until, you know, until however long it takes.
Yeah. Yep. Ooh, okay. However, and I mean, I think the thing is, you know, with any sort of successful business, it takes a while. It takes, you know, kind of a few years. I was sort of a podcast that I just recorded. I was sort of saying, you know, like when you look at, you know, some over what seemed like overnight success, you know, you talk to them, it's 5, 10, you know, 50 in the making. I mean, I think I was thinking about my business for 3 years before I started it.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I actually put on Like-Minded Bitches Drinking Wine about 3 or 4 years ago. I've got an idea about a business. What does everyone think? You know,
amazing.
I'm, you know, what name, blah, blah, blah. And funnily enough, I heard crickets. it wasn't the right time at that
time. No.
Yeah.
Right. That's so, yeah, but no, like I want to agree with that with regards to what you said. Like something that I learned later on in business is like just the power of systems and like little daily habits. And I know that sounds so obvious and for so many people so simple, but for me, like it just wasn't something that I had fully, I think, understood on like a deeper level. And like you said, like if you want sustainable success in your business and you want to be able to create just like long-term, whether it's profit or just impact, it's exactly as you said, it does take time because like with anything really, because you're building foundations, you're building processes, you're putting in place systems that were never there before. And you're absolutely right. It does. It takes a long time.
So, you know, consistency is like a good word. So what sort of daily habits then would you recommend for people listening to this podcast, if they're wanting to build out a business, what would you suggest they do?
Yeah. So the first one I would probably recommend is exercise, which I know has nothing to do with business. But I think if you've been an entrepreneur for a little while, you'll know that, like we were saying, that the emotional roller coaster is there regardless. And like you can get better at like noticing those emotions, but ultimately it's still going to show up for you. And I've personally found, and I've seen this with my clients as well, that like if you have, even if it's, whether it's, you know, a 40-minute walk or a 20-minute yoga session, or it could be like a HIIT workout or whatever, like whatever your thing is, everyone's different. But I've personally found that doing that, you know, ideally on a daily basis or, you know, throughout the week, it just creates a level of like, yes, I've crushed it, even regardless of what happens for the rest of the day, I've kind of crushed it. And also I think it puts you in the right state of mind of like all of that little tension or a little bit of the stress or niggles or even like the fears or nerves. I feel like that really falls away when you've done like any kind of movement with your body or any kind of workout. So weirdly, I would actually suggest that being one of the key daily habits, because I think it impacts the whole rest of your day and you tend to feel better the rest of the day as well. The second thing I'd probably recommend is daily meditation, which is so funny because when I tried doing this 3 years ago, I struggled so hard. So I know there are other people hearing this thinking, I don't want to meditate. I'm so sick of hearing that. But you know, even if it's just 3 minutes, and that's how I started, because to be honest with you, I couldn't sit still for longer than that. Even that was really painful for me. But, you know, as I did it daily, what I found is, one, you can really extend the time over time, the more you practice and sort of get used to that. But I think, again, I just think it's so key to being able to notice your thoughts and also continue to take aligned action in your business. So you might think, oh, well, it's just 3 minutes or 5 minutes of meditation in the morning. What is that going to do for the rest of my day? It's not going to do anything. And that was my mindset personally when I first learned about meditation. But what it does is that it does have a huge impact for the rest of your day in terms of focus. And there's actual evidence-based research that shows this, whether it's, you know, it affects your immune system, it affects your level of focus, it affects, you know, your mood, your energy levels. So again, like I would, weirdly enough, I would really recommend that. I think Stephen Covey talks about this, about like sharpening the saw, is like often these little daily habits don't really seem like they have anything to do with business, but ironically, they have probably the biggest impact. So that's the second thing. And then the third thing that I would really recommend would be some form of journaling practice. One of my favorites is from High Performance Habits, Brendan Burchard. He's got this phenomenal journal. And I've been using it for a year or a little over a year now. And it's a daily journal and it's phenomenal. And I don't have any kind of like affiliate link with him. I just think it's really fantastic. And I've been using it myself and I've just seen my momentum and my productivity drastically increase as a result of using it. Basically, it's a list of morning journaling questions, which is kind of mindset focus, where he's asking you, you know, what's your big focus? What's your vision? What could get in the way of that vision? What are your top three goals today? What are the key tasks that need to get done? Like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then it gives you space to fill out your day, like your little planner from 7 a.m. in the morning till, let's say, like 8 p.m. or whatever. And then it has an evening journaling question where you basically go through your day and think about, okay, what went well in my business today? What can I do better? And it's fascinating how powerful that kind of daily habit is for your business, because you get so laser focused on what are the key 1, 2, 3 tasks that you need to get done today to really grow your sales, your revenue, your profit, your impact, etc. And I find that especially in today's world with Facebook, Instagram, online world, etc., it's so easy to have that whole shiny object syndrome where you just sort of, you know, like a little headless chicken, like going everywhere. And that was me too, for sure, the first couple of years of my business. But the problem with that is you kind of never really feel like you're really making strides and really seeing like tangible progress. So I've found that doing that and using, well, that journal in particular, although maybe that's not for everyone, has really helped me in staying more productive and more focused on like what my specific vision is, because everyone's vision is so different and unique. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think those are the three things that I'd be like, yes, do these three things to move forward.
Absolutely. And look, that daily journal sounds kind of very similar to like best self .co.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, they do a journal, which, yeah, what am I grateful for today? Three things I'm grateful for, you know, time blocking, that type of thing. And because you're right, it's very easy to get, you know, distracted by social media or you know, I think as well, maybe carving out that time to kind of do that sort of deep focus work so that you're not responding to every email that you get. You're not,
yes,
you know, I've said to a couple of people, just because you get an email doesn't mean you have to respond to it right then and there.
What do you mean? Absolutely. And,
you know, you can wait a little while to respond to, if it's a customer, maybe you respond quickly, but if it's not that urgent, then you don't have to answer that. You know, right.
Spot on.
Yeah.
Spot on.
You know, turn your email off so that you can kind of focus your day. How has COVID impacted your work then at the moment?
That's an interesting question. So when it first sort of showed up on the scene, so I'm based in Melbourne. So I remember feeling, really noticing a lot of fear. And I know that's the case for others, because whether it was my clients or my coach at the time, or, you know, people that I knew through Facebook as well, like people, I was like, oh my gosh, like, what is this going to do? And I was like worried. And I noticed like really my mindset dropping like quite a bit, like really just noticing it take over. But then what was interesting is the more the weeks sort of move forward, I kind of made an unconscious, I don't know if it was conscious or unconscious, maybe it was kind of a combination of both, but like a decision to say, you know what, I'm just going to choose to believe that this is not going to impact my business. Now, I work specifically with female business owners, and some of my clients, like for example, one of my clients runs a salon, and she, you know, suddenly she had to be locked down and like closed down. And so, you know, the government was obviously, well, not obviously, but in this case was helping and supporting small businesses. So that was obviously helpful to her. But ultimately, you know, it should have impacted my business, if you see what I mean. But I think I made this conscious decision to say, to even in my head, to be like, you know what? No, like, I'm going to find a way, or I'm just going to choose to believe that this is not going to negatively impact my business.
Yeah.
And weirdly, just that sort of choice and that choice to focus on that, I think that led me to continually focus on, okay, well, what can I do? And what I found was like, so some of my business, some of the clients that I had, they sort of shifted gear, right? So even one of the women who runs a salon, she started selling more and more products online, which she had never done before. And, you know, and it was everything from like shampoos to conditioners to like organic products, different kinds, like, and that was something she'd never done before. And I think it's that mentality of like, either you choose to be like, and I mean, don't get me wrong, different businesses have a real, because ultimately every business is very different. Every industry is going to be different. Regulations are different, you name it. But still, I think in those times, you can't control what's happening. And that's sort of something I realized. I was like, I can't control COVID in and of itself. It's here, and it's here to stay for a while. So I know I can't control that part, but then what can I control? And I realized, well, you know, I can shift my own mindset, make sure I'm really focused on the opportunities at hand. I can really work with my clients around their own mindsets around this and help them pivot, you know, and even pivot in their own minds. Cause often that's what it is. A big block is your own head, and like just getting out of that sort of like, oh my God, like everything's going to go down, as opposed to being like, okay, well, how can I kind of go, you know, how can I shift gears, whether that's how you work with your clients or what you're selling, or maybe it's a separate business that starts. That happened for one of my clients as well. So I think that for me, that was the big thing, is like, I really worried and stressed out when it first sort of showed up. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, what is this going to mean for me, for my clients? Am I going to lose all my clients? Like all of this. And then I just realized, well, that's not going to be helpful, because I also realized that it was going to be quite, you know, quote unquote, long term. And I needed to really focus on, well, what can I control? Yeah.
Yeah. And like you said at the start, it's that story. And that's like, how, you know, what can I do? So how can I pivot, you know, rather than focus on what can't I do? What can I actually do? Sure.
Spot on. Yeah. And isn't it crazy how quickly we are to focus on like all of the things that are going to go wrong? And I actually know why that is, because there's a great book called Inner Size by John Assaraf, who basically he did a lot of research. He did a lot of sort of interviews with neuroscientists, and they found that, you know, and you probably will know this, like that, you know, our brains are made to focus on problems and to focus on what's wrong, because that's how we survived. You know, if you as a human being know everything that's wrong, and you're focused on what's wrong, and you're looking for the problems, then that's like a survival instinct. That way you're always quote unquote safe, or that's what your mind thinks. I'll be safe. If I know what's wrong, then at least like I can kind of fix it, or I know what's safe. But unfortunately, it's like, then we end up spending so much of our time putting our energy and our focus on all these things that are wrong, when ultimately, like you just said, like what's right and what is working and what can I focus on, and what are the opportunities here? Because I know there are a lot of businesses that have found lots of opportunity in this space as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's been super tough, and I don't think anyone expected it to kind of pan out or go. Look, no one had, you know, a year long, 2 year long pandemic in their business plans. <really. laughs> I mean, a good girlfriend of mine's got, you know, a yoga studio and a float rooms, and she just pivoted really quickly, went online, you know,
looked amazing.
Looked at all her expenses, what can she pull back, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, has recently been able to, you know, reopen, and then just now it's had to kind of close again. And so it's tough, it's difficult, but you know, one of the most positive people that you'd meet, and you know, seriously focused on what can she do rather than what can't she do.
I love hearing that.
Yeah. Well, look, Olivia, it's been so good chatting to you. I've just loved having you on the show, and I'm really, the work that you do is incredible. You know, so much is down to mindset, so much is down to like your self-belief and, you know, the people that you put around you. And yeah, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing. How can people get in touch with you? What's the best way?
First of all, thanks. It's been an absolute pleasure. So best place is probably just over on my website, under oliviacharlet.com. There's a blog on there that I'm really quite keen on just helping as many humans as possible, you know, shift their mindset. So I think, you know, whoever's listening would find a lot of value on there just through the blogs. Yeah. And that's probably the best place to sort of reach me. And obviously I'm on the other socials like Facebook and Instagram and things like that. Yeah.
And I think, are you running a new course? Is that right? I was having a little look at your website today.
So I have the key core thing that I work on is my membership tribe. So it's called the Bold Tribe, and it's all basically helping female business owners overcome self-doubt and really increase their confidence so that they can grow their business. And it's just my favorite place because I like to work with people long, like as long-term as possible. Cause I this is really my calling. It's not like just a business. I like absolutely love what I do. So yeah, that's sort of the key place, I would say. Yeah, the Bold Tribe.
Beautiful. Terrific. All right. Well, thank you so much and good luck with the new baby as well. When are you due?
April, coming up soon.
Wow. Yeah, you're getting close. Awesome. Thank you so much, Olivia.
Thanks, Samantha.